2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're going to look at Paul talking to the church of Corinth and some of these things we've talked about recently. But Paul, he wanted to help people. He wanted to help lost people by telling them how to get saved, and he wanted to help save people by telling them, you got a job to do here, and encourage them to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think the problem so much, especially in this church, is getting people convinced they have a job to do for Jesus Christ. It's encouraging each other to stay in the battle. Amen? You know, if you, you know, we're right on the verge of probably really closer to World War III than we ever have been. And, if these folks come over here and they start shooting things up over here and you got a gun, you're going to get their attention real quick. Amen? If you're firing back. Now, if you're hiding somewhere, and you'll probably make it for quite a while. Maybe you can eat the rations to the people that had the boldness on the front line that got shot. You can eat their rations until the Lord calls you out of here or whatever. But you get their attention if you're standing out there firing back. So what happens, you identify your purpose and you start fulfilling your purpose, and the devil starts firing at you because you're firing back. And we need to encourage each other to keep on keeping on. That's what Paul was doing. He was an encourager. And praise the Lord, we need to be encouraged. There's enough things to discourage you out there. We need to be encouraged. The most encouraging thing in the Bible after salvation and getting to see Jesus Christ at the rapture is knowing we're going to spend eternity with Him. I mean, one of these days we're going to leave this dumpster. Amen? And we're going to be with Jesus Christ for eternity. And, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Whether you believe it or not, God said it and that settles it. Amen? That's just the way it's going to be. Praise the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In verses 3 through 6, we'll go down through here again and we'll look and see the purpose. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That purpose, and again, the purpose is to give the gospel, and the gospel is the good news. What is the good news? The good news is, even though we're all sinners, Jesus Christ, God Himself, God the Father, looked down, saw the condition of the world, saw that we were without help, without hope, without God, and without excuse. And He decided to send His only begotten Son, all man and all God, in the form of Jesus Christ, to walk and live that perfect, sinless life you and I couldn't live, to die that horrible, horrendous death that you and I deserve to die, to go to that terrible place you and I deserve to spend in eternity, Jesus Christ, dying, going to hell, dropping off your sin debt, and the gates of hell did not prevail against Him. He come back out of the grave, and He lives forevermore. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the purpose. The purpose isn't, oh, you know, us Baptists, or the Methodists, or the Presbyterians, or the Catholic, or the Holy Mother Church, or the Baptist, the Independent Baptist, the true Bride of Christ, all this stuff. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to lift up Jesus Christ. And the reason folks have so much opposition to the truth is the truth has been so mixed in with garbage and baloney and misinformation, if you will. You look out there and you see the misinformation. How could you look at the world today and watch the news media and listen to all the garbage and lies that's been told and not believe that the devil didn't think of that first? Matter of fact, I guarantee he did. You know what he did? God gave us a perfect Bible in 1611. And we still have it. But the devil said, oh no, maybe that's not the right one, and maybe it would be better if this said that, or this or the other, or the original said this, or this verse shouldn't be there, that verse shouldn't be there, this should really be better rendering, should be this, that, or the other. The devil is getting you to doubt everything. I'm here to tell you, okay, you might think I'm a nut, but I'm a nut screwed on the right bolt, and I got the right wrench, amen, and here it is. But I'm telling you, there's a misinformation, a disinformation campaign from the devil that's been going on a long time before CNBC and CNN and CBS and ABC and Fox News started it. He started it in Genesis 3. He didn't start it on Channel 3. He started it in Genesis 3, amen. Yea, hath God said. And as soon as he got the woman to doubt what God had said, he got him to do what he wanted her to do. He convinced her that she wanted to do what he wanted her to do. And she did it. But we have the truth. We have the Word of God. I have no doubt that I have the very words of a living God in my language right here in my hand. I have no doubt about it. The old preachers used to say, I believe it from cover to cover, including the cover. Amen. I do believe it. You know what the cover says? Holy Bible. I believe that. I believe that. Our purpose is to tell folks, even the folks, you ever hear somebody do this? I have people do this all the time. They say, well, I just don't believe what you believe. How could a loving God do this? How could a loving God? How could a loving God allow this? How could a loving God do this? How could a loving God? Your God's a God of hate. A God of love would take everybody to heaven. I said, yeah, we have a God of love. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to take everybody to heaven. And he gave us his word so you'll know how he's going to do it. But you know, a lot of people, they don't want to do it God's way. They want to be in hell singing with Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Amen. You don't go to heaven your way. You go to heaven his way. Now, hopefully, the Word of God will convince you that your way and his way are the same, because there's only one way. But we need to realize that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, folks. He's blinded their minds with misinformation, with disinformation, confusion. The devil does that. God's not the author of confusion. You know what God did? He gave us a crystal clear plan of salvation. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God, you're a sinner. That's easy to figure out. I don't think God would have had to tell me that. Amen? But he did, because he's a good God. For the wages of sin is death, Genesis 3. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Genesis 3, God slain a lamb and covered those folks because their sin had messed up their flesh. If thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart, God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe you're a sinner and you believe Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and he did it for you, he shed his blood for you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's pretty simple to figure out that you are on your way to hell without Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to get there. He's the only one that can be righteous enough to get you to heaven. And you're not getting in on your righteousness, you're getting in on his righteousness. And for God so loved the world. How could a God have loved? He loved you so much, he died for you. I don't think we get the message across right sometimes. I think we get defeated too easily sometimes. Well, your God, if he was a God of love. No, wait a minute. Instead of hating back at him, how about saying, no. Somebody's told you the wrong. He is a God of love. He is love. God is love. And God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son so you could have eternal life. I think we miss not just the message, but we miss the heartfelt part of giving him the truth. If we just get a hold of the fact that the God of this world, little g God, the devil, has blinded their minds, then maybe we quit taking things so personally. You ever take it personally? I take it personally. You Baptist. I said, look, I'm saved. The Baptist didn't save me. You know, if it wasn't for the Baptist, I'd probably be on my way to hell, but the Baptist didn't save me. Jesus saved me. Nobody else was telling me the truth, so I went with the ones that did. Amen? But I went with the truth before I went with the ones that told me the truth. Amen? The purpose. And I'll tell you, this stuff will wear you down. If all you did all day long was prayed, read your Bible, and handed out tracts and told people about Jesus Christ, had a street sign out there, stickers on your car, honking for Jesus, everything you did was about Jesus Christ, it'll wear you down. Ain't nobody out there getting worn down for Jesus Christ. You know what we're getting worn down for? Politics. The Constitution, the wall, or lack of wall. And I'm not saying that stuff's not important physically, but I'm saying we are so worn out and worn down before we even think about Jesus Christ that we don't have a chance to fulfill what God's called us to do. We just let ourselves get worn out. Now, Creed, he used to run marathons and stuff. He still does. He's just chasing Lucas around the house now with it. But he used to run the long-distance runs and stuff like that. You know what he didn't do? And I'm sure of this. He had a 5K run, and he went out and run 10 miles 10 minutes before that, finished it up, said, now I'm ready to go. I'm sure he didn't do that. I'm sure he stayed focused and thought, man, this is the way I have to eat, this is the way I have to exercise, I have to have a rest period, I have to have a healing period, I have to get out there, and I have to plan this race, I have to conserve some energy, and when I hit the wall and I switch my energy, goes from burning the sugars I got in my blood to burning fat and everything else. You hit the wall and then you can go like you never went before. You got to plan that stuff out. A lot of it's diet. I'm a big fan, if you're going to run, believe it or not, I used to run, not just after fried chicken or cookies, but I used to actually run 3 miles a day, sometimes 10 miles just to make sure I could get to it. I was young then. I mean, I know I'm young now, right? I'm not 100 yet, so I'm still young. But I'm a big fan of carb loading as a runner then. Now I'm just a big fan of carb loading. They taste so good. But your body will store approximately 300 to 600 kilograms of carbs in your liver and stuff. It'll store that much depending on your build and stuff. So when you hit the wall and you run out of energy, those carbs will kick in. If you don't have that storage when you run out of energy, your body's got to start converting fat and all this other. You just got to do a bunch of different stuff that doesn't work as efficiently as the carb loading. Well, here's your carb load. If you're going to work for the Lord, you better have a sufficient supply of Scripture stored up in your gizzard. Amen. Amen. Because one of these days you're going to hit the wall and you're going to go, you know what you want to do when you hit the wall? You want to quit. But then if you're in shape and you power through that, you get a second wind that's like the first wind that didn't even exist, like nothing. Now you're running on a cloud. Now you skip fourth gear, you're in 10th gear. It's just like there's no effort anymore because you had that energy saved up. The purpose and the power, that's what I'm going to look at, talking about that energy. But we have this treasure, verse 7, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, when you hit the wall, like when you're running, like you're running 5K or whatever, I never run 5Ks. I don't know how that translates into miles and all that. I just run 3 miles. I'm an American. I don't run 3 miles. You want to run 5K, go to, Great Britain, run 5K. But when I run, you start out on your training. And that carries you. And your training tells you the pace you ought to be running for the distance you're going to run, the breathing you need to be breathing. Maybe when you got to slow down a little bit, pick it up a little bit. So certain times you got certain things going on, leg cramp, something happens, whatever. But after a while, when you hit that wall, it's not your training that takes over. It's that power supply that you had built up. I'm telling you, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's the power supply you want to have built up. You want to have some Scripture in you. The purpose, the power. The power should be of God. We can't make it on our own power. Now, we do that, and often I'm not telling you not to do it. If you're out and you're not in the will of God that day and you're having a bad time and God says, hand the track out, and you go, okay, here's the track. Hand the track out. Or maybe you just do things because it's the right thing to do. But for the long haul, you need the power of God. The power of God. Verse 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not perplexed. We are perplexed, or not distressed, excuse me. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You ever get troubled on every side about stuff that has nothing to do with reality and eternity and get distressed? I mean, good night. What if Biden gets elected again? Okay, now that's gone. We got something worse. I mean, think about it. Lord's like, you think that's going to bother you? Wait. Hold your hat there, man. But you get so distressed about the things of the world. You know what Paul's talking about here? There are people that want to kill us for giving the gospel. I don't worry about it. I mean, I'm troubled. It bothers me, but I'm not going to quit. I'm not distressed. I'm not to the point where I'm just giving up. We're perplexed. I don't know what's going on. But not in despair. Oh, you know what he's saying? I have no idea what's going on. I don't know why this happened. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why this is happening. But I'm just going to trust the Lord. That's what Paul's saying. That one little verse got so much in it. I'm just going to trust the Lord. What choice do you have? The world, the flesh, or the devil? Are you going to trust any of those? Paul said, I'm just trusting the Lord. The power, the purpose, the power, the persecution. Verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The potential. The potential is to die to self and let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you. We talked about that in Sunday school, about those precious stones in the wall of the New Jerusalem and how precious stones are connected with eternal life. And for the first time, the light of Christ is going to be projected from us perfectly. Perfectly. Like we would only be able to desire to do that here because we're in the way. But we're not going to be in the way anymore. The light will be dispersed perfectly. Don't you wish we could do that now? Wouldn't that be a blessing? We have the potential every day to die to self so He can live through us. 13 and 14, We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. We've got the potential, now we've got the promise. You know what that promise is? We're getting out of here. We are getting out of here. Now, I'm not saying sell all your stuff and don't worry about tomorrow at all. Don't put no thought tomorrow. Don't have a plan. Don't pay your mortgage. Don't pay your rent. Don't pay your gas. But I'm not saying that. I mean, matter of fact, we're probably going to plan another Golden Corral trip, even though I think we're getting out of here. Amen. But you've got that promise no matter what. We're getting out of here. I hope and pray that God takes us all ahead together in the rapture. I hope it happens. Boy, praise the Lord. Bring it on today. Right now. Right now, we'll sing praise God, all the way up. I'll probably spend half the time going up. I got away from you pointing at me. Amen. But we got a promise, and that promise is we're going to be with him for eternity. What a promise. 15 through 17. For all things are for your sakes. How do you justify, rectify that with what's going on? That's almost Romans 8:28. But really, it's more personal than Romans 8:28. For all things are for your sakes. Paul's talking about persecution, perplexion. He's talking about troubled on every side. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The pressure. And Paul felt it. Remember in Ephesians chapter number 6, when it's talking about the armor of God, remember when Paul said to pray that he might have boldness to utter the things that God... Paul was praying for boldness because he was under so much pressure. Could you imagine if everywhere you went, somebody was starting to stone you to death or chop your head off? Oh, we got all kinds of excuses, right? Oh, I got the cart with a bad wheel. I'm not going to witness today. They looked at me funny. I'm not giving them a track. They were trying to chop Paul's head off. Stone him. They stoned him to death in Lystra. He went in, seen into the third heaven. He went right back to Lystra. I said, all right. I know where I'm going for sure. Go ahead. Paul was the first one that said, rock on, right? He said, let him rip. What are you going to do? Send me back? He probably had to arm wrestle an angel to not stay there the first time. Paul felt that pressure. You notice something that, talking about the promise and the pressure? Look at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, when you're looking forward in life, it looks like a long time. But when you're looking back, it looks really short. You know, what we're going through here is for a moment. Compared to eternity, it's a moment. It's just a blink of an eye. Some things seem like eternity. I mean, the pains and heartaches and troubles and sorrows of this world, they seem like an eternity. But it's just a moment. God doesn't see things the way we see things. We're like, oh, Lord, you said you come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He said, I am coming quickly. When I'm ready, it's going to be real quick. But a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day to the Lord. 1,000 years on this earth is like 24 hours to him. He's not fazed by it. Paul said, just for a moment. You know why he could say it, just for a moment? Because Paul was looking at where he should be forever without Christ. What Christ did for him and the really short amount of time he had to love the Lord and prove that he loved him. Show the world that the Lord was worth loving. I mean, you don't have to spend an eternity in hell. I mean, eternal flames. The fire's never quenched, the worm dieth not. You don't have to go there forever and ever and ever. And God has allowed you this little blip on the radar for a moment to take up your cross and follow. I don't know, that taking up the cross thing, that's too hard. Well, it's not like going in hell forever. Amen? We don't have to do that, thank God. Amen? See, we got to put things in perspective. Paul spent a lot of his ministry trying to encourage people and help them put things into perspective. He said, look, everything you're going for our light affliction. This is a guy that's getting stoned. That's having his, you know, threatening his head chopped off. He's been cast in prison, out of prison, in prison. Shipwrecked, all through this stuff that Paul's been through, and he says, for our light affliction, because he's putting things in perspective. What we're going through is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through for you. Nothing. You're sowing and reaping some of the stuff that you deserve and we deserve. Amen. We get that. We go through some things that we don't deserve, and that's the stuff that adds up at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. But he took the sin of the entire world all at once on his shoulders on Calvary. I don't know about you, but my sin was heavy. It was so heavy, I felt like I'd lost a ton when I got saved. So how do you know you're saved? Well, I felt different. So we don't get saved by feelings. No, but if you get saved, you're going to feel different. I felt like somebody just took a dump truck off of me. That's heavy. Now, could you imagine 60 billion dump trucks of sin? Because that's what Jesus Christ, I don't know about the number, but you get what I'm saying. All the people in the world, 7 billion now or whatever, and all the people that have already went on and people that will yet be before the rapture, he took all that sin debt, all that pressure, sweat and blood in the garden thinking about what he was going to have to go through for you and I. And we're like, well, I don't know. They said I'm weird. I can't give them a track now. Well, they made fun of me. Well, you're funny. All right? We're funny. You know what we are? We're called to be a peculiar people. There's supposed to be something peculiar about you. You're supposed to be, we are supposed to be able, I am supposed to be, we are supposed to be able to get a hold of this verse where Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now get this, don't forget this. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What you're going through in this short time on this earth, if you're trying to live for God, whatever persecution you suffer, whatever ridicule you take, whatever spit in your face, rejection, whatever you take, God's going to reward that tenfold. You can't imagine how much God appreciates people that'll just say, hey, you know what? After everything he's did for me, I got to do something. Amen? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Now we're getting into the message. The purpose, the power, the persecution, the potential, the promise, the pressure, the pressing on. Paul said, in Philippians 3:14 that he pressed toward a mark the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was looking at things that are eternal. He didn't see things physical. I want us to do today is put some spiritual glasses on. Y'all folks recently got cataract surgery and stuff. And you're like, man, I can see the moon without a telescope. I can see craters on the other side of the moon now. Amen. And that's good. Praise the Lord that God does that. But I mean, Stevie Wonder could have 100% spiritual vision. He could have 20/20 spiritual vision. He's saved. Amen. So put on your spiritual glasses here and see. I'm not looking at the things that are carnal and temporal. I'm looking on past that to Jesus Christ into eternity. I'm looking past that to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm looking past that. I'm looking past that into a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. I'm looking past all this stuff. I'm looking past Donald Trump and past Joe Biden and past Kamala and past the Speaker of the House and past all this other stuff and past gun laws and past getting caught up in all this stuff. I'm looking past that. I'm going to look and see things that are not able to be physically seen. I'm not focusing on the things I can see with these eyes. I'm focusing on the things that I can see through the eyes of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And I'm pressing on. You know what the problem is? The real problem? This is the message. I'm going to try to condense it down to an hour. This is the message. The problem, the real problem is lack of faith. That's the problem. Lack of faith. Romans 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what's the lack of faith? It's not believing the things that are not seen, not only more, but as much as the things that are seen. How many of y'all seen some things with your physical eyes that you found out were not what you thought they were? I mean, most of what you see with your physical eyes, what was it they used to say, don't believe anything you hear and only half what you see? Most of the things you see with your... that's why they go to court and they got... That's why the Lord said two or more witnesses. Because one guy said, well, I seen him. He was in the bank and he had an Uzi and he was 6'4" and he was black and he had a beard and a gray mustache and a gold tooth. And the other guy says he was a white guy. He was 6'1" and he weighed 116 pounds and he had a machete. I mean, that's the thing. You can't believe your physical eyes. They'll lie to you. Amen. You know what God said? He said, I'm going to give you some spiritual glasses. I'll give you the Word of God, the Holy Spirit inside you, and the ability to pray so you can see things spiritually. Paul said, I'm not looking at all this stuff around me. I'm not looking at the sword they're trying to chop my head off with. I'm not looking at those prison bars. I'm not looking at those stones, although they hurt. I'm looking at Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at the fact that I'm only here for a moment. A moment. Now, I'm sure when he was being stoned outside of Lystra, it didn't seem like a moment. But could you imagine being in heaven and him telling you, sorry, you got to go back? That would seem like a moment. If he's there for 2 hours, you'd go, oh, that was a blink of an eye. I want to stay. But I know how to get back there. I'm going back to Lystra. Lack of faith. Turn to Romans or Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is what I meant earlier. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. Here's the hall of fame of faith going through all these people. Which Enoch was there. We expect Enoch because he walked with God. He was translated. Praise the Lord. We're going to be translated one of these days because we'll please God because of Jesus Christ. But Rahab the harlot was also there in the hall of fame of faith because she had faith. Look what verse 6 says. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you diligently seek God, That means you're not getting caught up with the things these physical eyes see and these physical ears hear. But you're caught up in spiritual things and pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're looking into eternity and saying, I'm going to be there forever. I'm here for a moment, but I'm going to be there forever. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So why aren't people pleasing God? Lack of faith. What is faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is seeing things spiritually and ditching the things you see physically and getting past the physical. It's not some kind of a super charismatic message. It's just a fact. It's a Bible. Quit getting focused and caught up and discouraged and all this junk that doesn't mean anything. The only one that can fix all this junk is Jesus Christ. And us worrying about, I know we ought to pray for people. We ought to pray for Donald Trump. We ought to pray for Nancy Pelosi. We ought to pray for Kamala Harris. We ought to pray for all these folks. Amen? We ought to pray for Vladimir Putin. We'll pray people get saved. We don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. But only the Lord's going to fix this mess. Our worrying about it's not going to fix it. I'm not saying shouldn't have a closet full of ammo. I mean, just so you sleep better at night or whatever. I'm just saying, don't get so caught up into everything in the world you forget about things that are eternal. Paul said, here we are for a moment, but I'm going to be there forever. This is after he got kicked out the first time. I'm going back, I'm staying, he says. Problem's lack of faith. Turn to Romans chapter 10. So where do you get your faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We go to church, all we hear is about that Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, pray over your Bible, you know, rightly divide your Bible, study it. You know, who would want you to not study? Who would want you to not read it? The devil. I mean, seriously, I'd vote myself out if I wasn't always bugging you to read your Bible. The devil says, don't read that. Because you know what he knows? If you read and you study and you meditate on the Word of God and you rightly divide the Word of God, he can't steal your faith. But if you don't, you're just giving it away. Why do you think most churches don't even talk about reading your Bible anymore? I'm not saying we're the only ones, but probably 50% of churches out there don't tell people to read their Bible. I mean, probably 50 or more percent of the preachers don't even believe it. Why do you think that is? Probably because they weren't reading it, studying it, rightly dividing it, meditating on it, praying over it, and the devil took it away from them. How do you think people fall off all the time? We're in the last days, the falling away and all that stuff. I believe that in the church age, we are in a falling away. I believe we're at the end of Laodicea. But why is it? Because the devil has used everything he could use to get people to not believe the Bible, to quit reading the Bible, to quit preaching the Bible, quit teaching the Bible. Try to make you feel guilty. If I stand in here and say, hey, if you're a sodomite or some kind of a pervert, you're wrong. I'm supposed to feel guilty about that. The devil say, that's not loving. It is loving. Adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. How about that? Telling that because you hate them? No, you tell them that because you love them. You want to quit and get right with God. If you're here today and you're saved and you're doing what lost people do, I'm telling you to quit and get right with God. I like what Ruckman said in one of the best preaching messages I ever heard in my life. He said, if it's wrong, quit it. If it's right, do it. That's pretty simple. Read the Bible, pray about it. If it's right, do it. If it's wrong, quit it. If you can't quit it, he said, kick yourself around the block. If you can't quit it, you know what? You read the Bible will kick you around the block. But read the Bible. So the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amos chapter number 8, verse 11. But, you know, I know this is dealing with Israel spiritually and practically, that applies today more than probably did when it was written. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know what he said? He said the words of the Lord aren't gone. He didn't say there's a famine of the word of the Lord. You know, this is the most sold book and most possessed book in the entire history of mankind is the King James Bible. You can go into about it, you can go to the Dollar Tree and get you a King James Bible. I believe the Lord's in that, because I believe somebody said, well, I can't afford I'll go to the Dollar Tree and get one for, it's a buck and a quarter tree now. You can get one for a buck and a quarter, paperback version. But he said there's a famine in the land, and the famine is not a lack of the Word of God, it's a lack of the hearing of the Word of God. Now that lands two places. That lands in the pulpits and it lands in the pews. If a preacher ain't preaching it, that's on him. But if you're not reading it, that's on you. And if the preacher's preaching it and you're not obeying it, that's on you. That means you're not hearing it. I'm a Baptist too. I've been in Baptist churches. I've sat in that side of this thing. And I've listened to preachers skin my hide. And I've sat up there like, now physically I wasn't doing that, but spiritually I was. Y'all never done that, right? Oh, I'm not going to hear that. Hear no evil, see no evil. Just keep doing the evil. But he said there's a famine. And the problem, the reason people don't have faith is there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Now, I believe the book. I'm a total nut job when it comes to the Bible. I'm way out there in left field where I think you ought to be. Right field. Let's put it in right field. Left just gives a bad connotation. Man. I'm way out there in right field where I believe you ought to be because I believe I'm right on this. I believe this is the most important thing you have in your entire life after your salvation is the Word of God. And I believe you'd be burning in hell right now if it didn't exist, the Word of God. I believe that everything's held together by the Word of God. I believe when you give people a witness, you ought to give them the Word of God. And I can tell you why. I have Bible for that. And I'm not ashamed of it. I don't care. I don't care what any of the brothers and sisters in Christ think. I'm not sure people can get saved without the Word of God. I don't think the ideas and the precepts get you saved. I think the Word of God gets you saved. And the reason I think that is because it talks about the seed and the sower, and it says the seed is the Word of God, and it's dealing with salvation. You don't have to believe everything I believe. I'm just telling you what I believe, and I got Bible reasons for believing it. Now, if you've got a reason I shouldn't believe that, show me. I think most people say, well, I'm a Bible believer, but I'm not going to take it so far that people think I'm a nut. You're a nut. So get screwed on the right bolt. Tighten it down with God's wrench, the AV-1611. I think everybody have two things in their house, an AV-1611 and a Colt 1911. Amen. But it's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. I'm sure people come in here and think, that guy's a nut. Said something about the King James Bible. And I love my RSV, NAV, Rainbow Bible. I just think he's wrong. I think whatever you read is just the same. I'm sure they think that. But I'm telling you, there's no way anybody in their right mind that's spiritually right with God, that's saved, can study this book and after a while not go, that's got to be it. That's got to be it. Because it's different than any other book. So why just think in the originals? Well, no, the originals have never been all in the same place at the same time, ever. Ever. And none of the originals exist. Not one shred of an original exists. We've got shreds of copies of copies of copies of copies. So if you only believe the originals, you got a problem. Because even the so-called originals aren't the originals. You know what I believe? I believe Jesus Christ not only looked into the future and loved you so much he died for you. I believe he loved you so much he gave you a word in English that's his Bible. Say, well, that's crazy. Well, 100 years ago, every other preacher believed it. They've been talked out of it. You know why? Because there's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Now, nobody has any faith because they're not hearing the Word of God. And again, if the preacher's not preaching it, and he's soft-pedaling everything, that's on him. You should find a different church. That's on you.
But if he's preaching it and you won't hear it, that's your problem. That's my problem. Oh, I listen to CDs sometime or something on YouTube, a preacher, and I'll go, good night, man. I mean, Adrian Rogers kicked me around the block a couple times. He's a nice guy, right? He was a nice guy. But he kicked me around the block. Amen. Charles Stanley back 40 years ago, he'd kick you around the block. Billy Sunday, he'd drag you around the block. Billy Sunday was a preacher now. He'd, you know, liberal preachers and stuff would show up to listen to him. He'd call him out. Amen. You preachers better get saved. You can't be saved preaching the garbage you're preaching. I mean, he was a preacher. Amen. Now it's judge not. Judge not has infiltrated everything. You can't even decide if you think somebody's lost or saved. Well, if they don't have a testimony of salvation, let me tell you what, they're lost. If they think salvation is getting baptized in the water, they're lost. If they think their good works is getting them to heaven, they're lost. If they think Jesus was part of it, but I'm the rest of it, they're lost. You know how I know that? Because you have to repent. You have to realize you're a scoundrel. You've got nothing to offer God and say, Lord, forgive me and save me and trust Him and Him alone. That's salvation. Anything outside of that is lost. And it's the easy road. I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, my neighbors, they are such good Christians. They're saved. They're all saved. How do you know? Well, if they go to church. The devil goes to church every week. Matter of fact, he's here most weeks. He's either riding on your back kicking you or riding on mine kicking me. Well, they've got a cross in their window. They got an angel in their Christmas tree. You know, they're saved. Are they? First, let's figure out what salvation is and then see if they're saved. How do you figure out what it is? Well, I can tell you 100 different ways to figure out what it ain't. Anything outside of the blood of Jesus Christ and trusting death, burial, and resurrection and a repentant heart is not salvation. Amen. Why am I telling you that? Because we look for the way out. And part of looking for the way out is, well, they're good. I don't have to witness to them. Now I can witness to somebody I don't know. Oh, grandma, she prayed once, read her Bible. She got to be saved. Now, my grandma, she was the biggest prayer warrior I ever knew until I met my wife. And my grandma prayed for everybody every time. I mean, she had a prayer life, man. She read her Bible every night. And it was a real Bible, by the way. She read it every night. She prayed every night. She prayed for everybody every night. She might have prayed for you. I don't know. She prayed for everybody. She was in Missouri. She's probably praying for some of you. I don't know. She just prayed. But you know, when I got saved, you know, I went to my grandma and said, Grandma, you saved? She said, well, yeah, I've been baptized and everything. She said, and you can't be baptized till you get saved. I said, oh, okay. Because I was really hoping that my dear grandma wouldn't tell me she got saved by being baptized. She cleared it right up. She went to a Presbyterian church. She'd been to Methodist churches. She was a member of a Presbyterian church, but she was saved. And all she, you couldn't get through an hour of conversation with her without her talking about the Lord. Period. And she finally got to be with him about 4 years back. But you got to find out. How would you like to get to the judgment seat of Christ and find out that the person you were closest to was lost and on their way to hell and you didn't even ask? I mean, you were asking the immigrants, you were asking the checkout people, you were asking the cart pusher. Praise the Lord, ask them. But there were people that lived within 10 foot of your house or 10 blocks of you that you've seen on a regular basis and you just thought, well, they must be saved. It's easier not to witness to them. If I think they're saved, they're saved. What's it going to hurt? If you say, well, if you've been born again, are you saved? If they're really saved, they'll probably say, praise the Lord. If they're out of God's will, they might go, well, you know, that's I don't talk about religion and politics. But if they're saved, they'll probably rejoice with you. And if they're lost, you'll be without excuse and you won't have their blood on your hands. Amen. I'll be honest with you. When I first got saved, I was a lot more zealous in the heart for lost souls. I still go through the motions some days without the heart being in it. I never did that to start with. I was like, man, that's my grandma. I love her. I got to make sure she's saved. Because I started finding out people weren't really saved that were going to church. When I was lost, I thought, well, they went to church or, you know, Jesus people, whatever. When I found out what salvation really was and how many people were wrong about it, I wanted to make sure that she had it right. She had it right. I had to preach her funeral. I got to preach her funeral. It was an honor to do it. But it was a real honor to stand up there and preach out of Psalm 19 about the heavens declaring the glory of God, talking about her knowing the Maker. Talking about the artist, the artistry, the beautiful things that God created, and all the things you could look at, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And she not only, she looked all the time, she'd always think, thank God for the birds singing. Thank God for the beautiful sunrise. Thank God for the beautiful sunset. I mean, we are weak. This little Presbyterian lady knew how to get with God and to brag on. Thank God for this. Thank God the car is clean. Thank God, I mean, thank God for everything. My wife's really like that a lot. She's a lot like my grandma in that respect. She's a better praiser than I am. But she thanked God for everything. Got to stand there and at that funeral and tell people how to get to heaven and say she knew the artist. The reason she thanked God for the sunset, thank God for the beautiful moonlight, and thank God for the sunrise, and thank God for the birds chirping, is she knew the artist. She knew the Creator. She thanked God for the birds singing because He made the birds. He gave her the hearing to hear it. You don't have to have a doctorate in Bible studies to walk with God. You just have to walk with God. That little lady couldn't have told you, she couldn't have finished an algebra problem if she had to. But she could tell you more about walking with Jesus Christ than most preachers could in 2024. Amen. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how much sense you have spiritually. Where you're getting your wisdom. You man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. The famine in the land. Not of bread, not of water, but a famine of the hearing of the word of God. There's a famine in the churches. It's a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Maybe you're reading it, but you're not hearing it. Well, you can ask Creed and Alyssa. I mean, they're really versed on this now that Lucas is almost three. Hey, don't do that. Hey, put that up. You're going to hurt yourself. Hey, quit it! That's what the Bible does. Did the Bible do that to you too? Oh, you got something you won't get rid of? And the Lord's like, quit that. Cut that out. Good. Quit. Judgment seat of Christ. Quit! People just won't hear it anymore. I'm all right. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be up there. It doesn't matter. I'm not, you know, I'm not greedy. I don't care if I have any rewards or not. I'm just going to heaven. You will care. When that fire is over with, you'll care. Because this is just a moment. That's forever. That's what Paul got a hold of that everybody needs to get a hold of. And that's what he was telling the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a mess. And when they were doing something right, he tried to encourage them to do right, to keep on keeping on, and he told them how to do it. You know, Paul wrote Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I believe he wrote Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is something, hope for the evidence of things not seen. I believe he wrote Hebrews 11:6, where it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. I believe Paul wrote all that. There's a famine. Is there a famine in your life? I'm not talking about just showing up on Wednesday and showing up on Sunday and showing up at Golden Crow. That was a good time. We'll do that again. That was a real blessing. I love eating with you all in fellowship, and it's a blessing. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you in your prayer life alone with God. You in your Bible alone with the Lord. You. I've preached to people over the years that couldn't read. But you know what they could do personally? They could listen to the Word of God, Alexander Scorby or something. Also, adults that have learned to read from the King James Bible, that difficult text that nobody can understand. You know, a lot of people down south learned to read out of that years ago. That's why they say y'all and stuff, because Paul said it. There's a lot of words in there they use because they learned them out of a King James Bible.
Amen.
Paul was a southerner too, right? One of the southern tribes. Just a little on the hillbilly side. That's a good thing. Is there a famine in your life of hearing the Word of God? Father, we love you and thank you for the opportunity to read your Word, preach your Word, teach your Word, meditate on your Word, to try to rightly divide your Word. And Lord, here we are in a day where it seems silly to most to put so much focus and confidence in your Word. But Lord, not only is that all we have that's real, that's all we need. See, we're here for a moment. And we're headed into eternity. And everything hinges on faith. So that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Help us to fall in love with your book like never before. Help us build our faith through the reading, teaching, preaching, meditating, and praying over your Word. Lord, bless these folks. Help them in a mighty way and strengthen them. And again, we'll lift that Brother Mac to you to help him and his family. And Lord, help us through the day. Help us to make this not just another day at church where, you know, maybe the Lord talked to me a little bit, maybe he stirred me a little bit. But Lord, help it be a day where we changed our lives for your honor and your glory. And we drew closer to you and made it a habit and addicted ourselves to the reading of your Word, the praying, and to the ministry. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.